Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. Today on Piano Jazz, we're saluting the phenomenal jazz artist Paquito de Rivera. He's an alto saxophone virtuoso with a huge, bright sound, a fleet-fingered clarinetist, and a fine composer, arranger, and pianist to boot. Paquito was a child prodigy in his native Cuba and a renowned musician on the jazz scene there. In 1980, he left Cuba for the U.S. and quickly took the American jazz scene by storm. He's truly deserving of the honor of Jazz Master, which he will receive this year from the National Endowment for the Arts. Paquito joined me in 1995. I don't know how I've managed to only hear you and not meet you. I've admired your music for a long time.
I think I admire your music for a longer time than you admire my, because we used to listen all your records for so many years back in Havana.
Really?
Yeah, my favorite one is the one you did in Argentina.
Oh, yeah, with Teddy Wilson and Earl.
Teddy Wilson and
Earl Hines.
Uh-huh.
And Ellis Larkins. Oh, my goodness.
What beautiful.
Well, you've been over here, what, about 10 years?
No, more than that. I arrived here in October 1980 for good.
Well, how did all this come about? I mean, did you suddenly decide you wanted to hear American music? How did it work out?
I remember many years ago, my father was a saxophone player, a classical saxophone player, and also a representative for the Selmer Company in Havana.
Oh.
And then once he showed up at home with a beautiful record that still today is one of my favorite records, was a record of Benny Goodman in Carnegie Hall, 1938.
Oh, yeah. That's
Teddy Wilson was there.
Yes,
and
right.
Lionel Hampton and Ziggy Elman. And then I was a kid, but I fall in love with that music. And I fell in love with the city of New York. So that was like a dream come true.
Well, were you playing already as a kid? Were you already playing an instrument?
Yes, my father ordered for me to the Selmer Company a curved soprano, you know, a little saxophone.
A curved soprano. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, fabulous.
Mm-hmm. And then I started studying with my father when I was 5 years old. Still I am studying.
My goodness. Well, no wonder you're so fabulous, and if you started as a kid. But then I was wondering, how did you hear, did you get all the American records in Cuba? Did they have?
Up until 1959, that the Castro came to power, the communist system took over, and then the record was over and food and everything. And then the man who saved our life was Mr. Willis Canover.
Really, a voice of America.
Oh, yes. We love him so much. And the first time I heard people like Joe Henderson, Freddie Hubbard, the new Miles Davis quintet with Bob Carter and Tony Williams and all those new cats was through Willis Canover. And finally, I met him in Poland years later.
This is like jazz history. It's so fabulous. But I want to ask you more, but let's play something and then come back and talk some more about this, because is that okay?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Play a tune. Everyone's dying to hear you play.
Let's take the opportunity. We have a good bass player here.
Oh, I know. I was just going to talk about him. He's a bass player that I know very well, too. David Fink.
Oh, yes.
On bass. Well, what should we play? What should we do?
Let's play something by the great Charlie Parker. And, of course, I'm going to play it in the clarinet, not in the alto, just in case.
How can we go wrong with that? Okay.
Well, Donnelly.
You count it off.
Right. Thank you.
boy, you don't mess around, do you?
Oof.
I mean,
that was a good warm up.
That was a wonderful tempo. Boy, that's great. And a great bass solo. And
yeah, that was good, man. Keep practicing.
That'll get my heart started doing something like that. Well, you know, now while we're playing that, I'm thinking to myself, you must have had all those records over there in Cuba. But then I'm thinking, where did you meet Dizzy? Did he come over there before you came? I mean, is that how you met him, in Cuba?
I had a feeling that I was going to meet that man one day in my life, because Dizzy was a constant force in my career. Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker, you know.
Yes.
And then once in 1977, I had the chance to meet him when he was there in a jazz cruise, you know. And it was a jazz boat with people.
Oh, jazz cruise. Jazz cruise, yeah.
Yeah, there were people like A.R. Fatherheim was there too, Stan Getz, that I admire so much.
Oh, boy.
And Rudy Rutherford and Dizzy. And my dear David Danvram was there too, the horn player and composer, David Danvram.
David Danvram.
They were there. And then we had so much fun that night. That was just for one day.
Well, did they all land, or did you get on the boat, or what?
No. For some reason, the boat stopped in... That was a Caribbean...
Caribbean tour.
And then for some reason, I wonder why, they stopped in Havana for one day. And then they had this beautiful day, the whole day with jazz musicians, and we jammed together and we played some music together.
Oh,
that was
goodness.
A beautiful, beautiful experience, and was the beginning of a lasting relationship with me, with Dizzy and David Danvram and all that.
Oh, it's a terrific story. And then I guess by that time he was sort of thinking, gee, it would be nice to go there. I mean, you thought about going to New York.
Yeah, that was, for me, it was about time. That was in 1977, and when I came to New York, it was in 1980.
Well, so now you just... I mean, people immediately just took you to their hearts, I'm sure, when you hear a great musician like you, and you just came over here and amazed everybody.
Well, Dizzy helped me a lot in that, and also Amram. And people like Mario Bauza, too.
Oh, yeah.
You remember our dear Mario. And Bruce Lundvall helped me a great deal, too. Well, here we are now.
Here we are. you want to play a Dizzy tune?
Oh, yeah. Let's play Dizzy composed so many beautiful tunes, much beautiful music in the air now because of Dizzy Gillespie. You remember Berg's Works?
Yeah, sure.
Let's play that.
Sure.
Want to play that?
Absolutely.
Well,
now you're going to play piano on this too, aren't you?
But you play the left hand for me, and I play the right in a stereo.
Okay.
All right.
And then we've got David. So how can we go wrong?
All right. Thank you.
Such a nice tempo, and really, oh, just having you here makes me think a lot about Dizzy. You know, he did piano jazz.
He loved to play piano.
And he played a lot of piano, and he showed me a lot of things, and it was kind of an exciting time. So this is equally exciting.
Dizzy wrote so many original things.
Didn't he, though?
Incredible, yeah. Dizzy, like Monk, one of those people who have that grace to write incredible things out of simple things. Mm-hmm. If you want to like the music of Dizzy and Monk, too, it's simplicity, it's simple, and it's monumental at the same time. And you know why? Because there is a lot of sense of humor in that music, too.
Well,
like Mozart.
There has to be. I mean, I think sometimes musicians get a little bit carried away and get very serious. And
yeah.
I mean, that's one thing that people loved about Dizzy is that he was so funny. But then I wonder if did they ever underestimate what he did because he was always such a clown. You know, I sometimes wonder if people didn't always take him seriously.
For, you know, nothing is wrong with clowns. Clowns are people who make the life of others better and happy.
That's
so
true.
If Dizzy was a clown, God bless the clown and send in the clown.
We're not going to play that, though. Hey, maybe I might do that one later. All right, let's see. What are we going to do? Night in Tunisia?
The Night in Tunisia.
All right.
Yeah, it sounds good. Let's practice that.
Let's have at it.
Yeah. You got it, Pepe. Thank you.
Oh, God.
All right.
Oh, I'm having a good time. My guest is Paquito de Rivera. We have bassist David Fink. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Well, it's great that we're playing tunes by Dizzy, but you've written some tunes yourself, and you've written a wonderful tune for him called A Night in Englewood.
Ah, yes, that is the title card of the new CD on the Messidor label called A Night in Englewood. We don't play only the music of Dizzy, but all that orchestra, all the idea was inspired by him.
Well, but you've got so much of your own music. You're being very modest because you've written a lot of things, and you play classical things with orchestras. I mean, you do a lot of stuff that is not in any way related to Dizzy.
You know what happened? My father was a very Ellingtonian person in the sense that he said that it is only two kinds of music, good and bad.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if it's classical or jazz or rumbas or whatever. You have to do it, try to do it good, you know, in the correct way.
Well, anyway, let's do one of your things, the piece that you wrote for Dizzy. Now, it's called A Night in Englewood because that's where he lived, wasn't it?
Yes. This, you know, it's inspired in the title that he composed, A Night in Tunisia.
Right.
He used to be, he was the most distinguished member of the community in Englewood. So I decided to call it A Night in Englewood. You know that I was writing that piece and then the bridge never came out. And then I have a big picture of Dizzy laughing, of course, in my wall. And I say, hey, man, don't look at me that way and help me writing this thing. And then I went to the Frisian, and when I came back, I composed the whole bridge, which is variational on A Night in Tunisia.
You see, he did help you. He did. Yeah, what a cute idea anyway.
I hope he don't sue me.
I don't think there's any chance of that. Hope he's sitting here in this room listening to us.
Uh-huh.
Well, here goes. You count it off then.
All right. It's A Night in Englewood. Thank you.
Oh, that's so beautiful. What a nice idea. You managed to get so many tunes in there.
Sometimes I remember more and more and more tunes in the cadenza.
Oh, you know, you put salt peanuts. Wasn't it funny he had President Carter doing that? Well, let's see. You know, we've talked so much about Dizzy and Moody and you know, we haven't... One of my favorite people, and unfortunately he just passed away, is Antonio Carlos Jobim. Don't you love his music?
Oh, Tom Jobim. He's... My God, it means so much for me because, all my life I've been in love with Brazilian music. And I learned a lot from Brazilian musicians, too. I met David Fink through a great Brazilian trumpet player by the name of Claudio Roditi, and he plays so much music of Jobim for me.
No, who, Claudio?
Claudio Roditi, yeah.
There's so many beautiful songs, and I keep hearing even some that I still haven't learned, like this one called Zingaro.
Ah, Zingaro, yeah.
That's a hard... Boy, that is hard.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Yeah. Oh, then he had a wonderful album just recently called Passarine.
Passarine. I think that was the last album, right?
Yes.
I believe it, the last recording. Beautiful. But he seemed like it's endless, the possibilities of his composition, but all the time sounds so fresh. That song, Passarine, is so beautiful.
Isn't it? And you know what I loved about Jobim was he always had this thought about the environment, and he talked about birds and flowers, and I know in that song he's saying, little bird, fly away before something happens to hurt you. You know, he's talking about air pollution and all that kind of thing.
He didn't want to miss his source of inspiration. That's what it is. He was afraid of that. All his music was based in nature. Corcovado, which is that mountain in Rio.
Right.
And all that.
Oh, we could play that, couldn't we? Corcovado, could we do that?
That's a good idea.
Let's do that. Let's play that one.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Was terrific. You know, while I'm doing that, and I'm wondering, I'm going to ask you, like, is that the right thing to do behind you, what you were doing then? Like, if you were playing piano on there, what would you do? You might do something. Well, show me something. You might do something a little different.
Piano player, but
show me, like...
Key.
I tricked you into playing a little piano. See, that's great. I mean, I
it's very little, but I can't play in the piano. But you know that this music is it's a combination. When you call Latin jazz,
mm-hmm.
is the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So you use that marvelous bebop phrasing that DC gave us as a legacy, and then you combine that with the rhythm part of the Latin American music, which is so rich. Some cha-cha-cha there. This is the Brazilian stuff. That cha-cha thing, you see. If you play that, if you play on time, the dry hand.
Thanks for doing that, though. That really gives me such an insight into what you're supposed to do. That's wonderful. Really knocks me out. This is a wonderful day. My guest is Paquito de Rivera, and we have a fine bassist, David Fink. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. It's such a shame that Carmen McRae passed away recently, and you wrote a piece especially for her.
Oh, yes. Carmen was a very special person for us, for my family. We have been very good friends, and we admire her so much as a singer, as a piano player, too.
Oh, she was a good piano player.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She was dangerous with that.
She was. Well, yeah.
And then I feel so much inspired by that lady that I wrote for her this samba, called Samba for Carmen. Some people think that because it's a samba, it's dedicated to Carmen Miranda.
Oh, nothing to do with it.
We've
got to straighten that out. No, Carmen McRae. Oh, mm-hmm. I love that woman. She was wonderful. Uh-huh. All right, let's hear it. Thank you. Boy, that's such a nice tune. Boy, if we only had some drums in here for that.
Carmen used that as her music theme.
Did she?
Like for the last, let's say, 6 or 7 years of her career.
Did
and
she
I was
really?
Very proud of that.
Oh, that's wonderful. No, it's funny. You know, Carmen McRae taught me a tune by Teddy Wilson. It's The Little Things That Mean a Lot. Did you ever hear that tune?
No. But that makes sense to me.
And she sat down. She was doing piano jazz with me, and somehow she started talking about Teddy Wilson. And she said, oh, do you play that tune by Teddy? It's a little things that mean a lot. I said, no. So she taught it to me, and this is a little bit of it. Let's see. Just a very simple little tune. She went through the whole thing, and
who
composed
that? Teddy?
Teddy
composed
Wilson.
That?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Teddy Wilson. She was such a down-to-earth kind of person, wasn't she?
I learned so much from Carmen McRae in Japan once. She had a very fantastic bass player, very good young bass player. He was like 20, 21 years old. He impressed me very much because we're one of those kids with a lot of technique and all that. And I told Carmen, this kid, he plays so good. And say, yeah, he plays very good, but he don't listen nothing. So I said, what do you mean? Then I understood. And I said, it's more important sometimes, or most of the time, to listen than to play. He's playing all the time, you know. And I think that the kid learned from her too. He said, I am the owner of this thing here. You know, she said, I am the owner of the thing here. And I am constantly listening to everybody. You're supposed to listen. It's so important to listen. Don't play. If you don't have anything to play, don't play nothing. It's very simple.
Yeah, well, you know, some people, especially the young kids, and I guess I'm guilty of this myself, that you think
everybody.
You have to play something, and you don't really. Sometimes you can just let space go by with maybe somebody else is carrying the melody, like the bass, or the bass player is playing, and you don't necessarily have to do anything. But I've had rhythm sections like that, and they think they have to be playing all the time. Yeah. But that's really good advice to all of us.
Yeah, and Carmen was a master on that, on space.
Yeah,
his space, listening, and don't play nothing. You know, there's this great drummer by the name of Kenny Washington.
Kenny Washington, yes.
That he say it takes little ego and big ears to make the music happen.
Little ego and big ears.
Yeah, big ears. Don't play. You want to play nothing. Let somebody else play. Even you, if you are the leader, don't play nothing. If you have a wonderful bass player, let him play something. Anyway, you are catching your money, man. So let the music happen and take the ego out.
Let the music happen. Oh, yeah. We're going to. You know, this is such a shame. I'm having such a good time and I'm learning a lot about how to play these Latin rhythms. But we haven't played some good old blues before we go. Will you play some, like on the piano maybe?
Yeah.
Something. And then play the horn too if you want to, or the clarinet.
You know that we started with a composition by Charlie Parker. You want to finish with Billy's Bounce?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Billy's Bounce by Charlie Parker.
Okay.
Can we play the melody together? Yeah. One, two. Thank you.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with host Marian McPartland and her guest Paquito de Rivera, a program from 1995. Join us each week at this time for another hour of conversation and improvisation with Marian McPartland and her guests. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Andrew Milano, mastering engineer Bill Sexton, production coordinator Gene Pinkston, executive producer Tom Clark. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. Piano Jazz is made possible by the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR. And by Save America's Treasures, through a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service Department of the Interior. Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and NPR contributors, which include the Lemelson Foundation, supporting inventors and invention to improve lives in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org, and the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, helping people build measurably better lives, on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.